This is a CC Radio podcast.
Welcome along, everyone, to this latest review, feature review this week for the Countdown Movie and TV Reviews podcast. My name is Paul.
My name is Wayne. What's up, y'all?
And this week we're doing something quite different for you. We're not doing a major release, new release for this week because we are not Pokemon people.
That's right.
Yeah. If you're into Ryan Reynolds, if you're into little yellow dudes,
I am into Ryan Reynolds.
And little yellow dudes in trench coats.
I'm kind of a little yellow dude in a red trench coat.
That's a red trench coat. If you're into those things and you've enjoyed Detective Pikachu, wonderful, but it's not for us. So we're going to skip that. Instead, we're going to release to you from our Patreon-only archives.
Oh, yeah.
So if you're a patron of the show, you'll have heard this. Apologies to you. But we're going to release to you our review of Casino Royale.
Casino Royale.
Dwayne is the big Bond fan. I am less of a Bond fan,
which is so weird.
You can check out how that goes in this, which we recorded about 6 months or so ago. And there's a whole bunch of this kind of stuff available to you. If you're all interested in becoming a patron, you can check it out. The link is in the show notes. And really, that's about it. Except, of course, can't go through any kind of recording without acknowledging the soundboard.
And no, we can. Fuck this.
Very,
soundboard.
Very important. Oh, shut presence. Up.
This is the dumbest shit off. Anyone ever said.
You putting this shit in here?
And I don't just think I'm
fucking jump out
here.
Of it. You
time,
dickhead.
There you go. So that's it from us. We're just going to play through now the patron only segment, or what was the patron only segment, is now available to your ears. Please enjoy this retro review. We're back next week with a big review of John Wick Chapter 3.
Kapow.
Welcome, patrons, to the latest review. It.
I actually wasn't expecting that. Well done.
Today we're talking Casino Royale.
Casino Royale!
The 2006 remake slash reboot with Daniel Craig, one obviously not the old ass one, which no one likes. And this is with thanks to patron and your cousin and friend,
Mike T.
Mike T in the house. Thank you, Mike, for this. One of your top 10 favourite films of all time, if recent lists are anything that have been submitted to the show to go by.
Yes. And let me tell you, to Asians, James Bond is very important. Asians like my family, Mike. The
well, radio. if I can recall something which just tweaked in my memory here.
Oh, yes. Listeners, my mother, this is some intel for you, Asian mothers are very goddamn honest. They're just really honest. And
some would say critical.
Oh, dude, forget about it. I mean, it's bad enough.
So, if I may.
Thrill me.
Okay. It's bad enough if you're a boy, but if you're a girl, you get it even worse, I'm told by my sisters. So, my mother once, when I was 26 at the time, I'm doing laundry at the house or whatever, and she's like, "So, do you have a girlfriend yet?" And I was like, no, I don't, actually.
Hey,
I stand resolute, motherfucker. I said, "No, Mom, I do not have a current girlfriend that I can introduce you to."
Yeah.
And she said, she makes this like fucking scrunchy face. And I'm like, "What?" She says, "You know, you're not James Bond, you know." she says, "You know, you can't just wait for Sharon Stone to walk into your life." Because she remembers who I liked when I was 15. So,
And 18.
Exactly. And so, and by the way, I've actually told this story to someone and they go, "What is she seeing when she says you're not James Bond?" And I had to explain to her, that is my mother saying, "You are unattractive. You cannot afford to be picky."
You're not a gorgeous hunk of a man who's wearing...
Essentially,
you know,
yeah. She's trying to bring her little point home, but that's just... That's
she's trying to knock you down a peg.
So for you white people or other people who don't have an Asian mother, you count your lucky fucking stars next time you complain about your folks, all right? So, yeah.
Very appropriately, given that I'm sure your cousin...
Mike knows this story.
Know this story
Mike
very well.
My fucking cousins get me a fucking like a birthday card with Sean Connery on it. And inside it's, you're not James Bond. That shit has happened many times.
You're not James Bond, you know, but we still love you.
Yeah, exactly.
Same.
You're fucking not James Bond looking motherfucker.
All right. Well, should we get on with this review?
Yeah, sorry. Terrible.
No, that was very good. Very good. Yeah. I enjoyed it. Very eventually. I've heard it before, but very funny.
Oh, it's just nasty.
Directed by Martin Campbell. And of course, not of course. Screenplay by Neil Purvis, Robert Wade, and Paul Haggis. Academy Award winning director of Crash.
Yes.
Paul Haggis, would you believe? Stars, of course, Daniel Craig in his first turn as James Bond. Eva Green, Mads Mikkelsen. The dude who plays Matthias, Giancarlo Giannini.
Well done.
Jeffrey Wright. Which kind of blew my mind after Westworld. And then I watched him very recently in a thriller called Hold the Dark. He's Felix.
Oh, yes, of course. To be honest, I remember.
How much better as an actor is he since he's gotten older? Because he's pretty average in this film, but anyway.
Dude, in this film, he's crap. I don't even know why they chose
Felix. And of course, Judi Dench. All right, Wayne, tell the story.
Sure.
People who, just remind them.
Yeah, after receiving a license to kill, British Secret Service agent James Bond, Daniel Craig, heads to Madagascar, where he uncovers this, like, link to Le Chiffre, who is Mads Mikkelsen, is a dude who finances terrorist organizations. He learns Le Chiffre plans to raise money in a high-stakes poker game, and then MI6 sends James Bond to play against him, gambling their newest 00, making him try and topple the man's organization. That's what this movie's about. And it is fucking awesome. This is definitely my favorite Bond movie.
Oh, I'm glad to hear you say that, because I thought I was going to cop some shit to say, far and away, easily, the best James Bond film. The only thing that comes close for me is Spectre. Oh, sorry.
Not Spectre.
Skyfall.
Skyfall.
Sorry.
Skyfall,
sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I was like, what the fuck? Totally. The fucking, like, look, I think that, I don't know, remember right when this shit came out, right? Remember all the heat? Because this is the new James Bond. And Daniel Craig doesn't look like Pierce Brosnan. And people were talking about
Timothy Dalton.
Yeah, he's just like, you know, everyone's like, yeah, man. And they were talking about Henry Cavill. Henry Cavill at the time was like on this list.
So, yeah, for sure. Yep.
It was an unconventional choice to make Daniel Craig this guy. But, I don't know, it's a dual purpose. The franchise had turned to shit for so long. The last one was like James Bond, like Pierce Brosnan surfing on a fucking ice wave.
Oh, that is one of the worst movies ever made.
Dying of the Day, I think it was, right? That one? Yeah, God, it was the worst one. And it was the, oh God, for everyone's sort. And so what we actually have now is...
So they completely rebooted.
Yeah, because Bond looks so different. He just cuts it completely and boom, this is now his. He's the best Bond ever made. So, yes, I think most of anything, the opening scene.
Do you mean the black and white?
The black and white thing was a masterstroke, but that was for me.
Even the studio emblems and stuff at the very, very start, the MGM, all black and white too. And I literally was like, hang on, have I got the color wrong on the TV?
Yeah.
What happened here?
No, but it's kind of a masterstroke, man. It's like, okay, now it tells you that this is him becoming a 00.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a really normal scene. It's just like, you know, you get down.
And becoming a 00 means you're allowed to kill, licensed to kill.
Right? Yes.
Yes.
And you have to like complete 2 or 3 kills before. You know, that was just all good shit, right? But... Then, no, but the Madagascar opening with the fucking parkour and all that shit.
The big chase of the guy who's got a bomb. And
man, if you sit like, if you're trying to make a call on Daniel Craig and you see that black and white thing, you're like, okay, a bit of foreshadowing. It's not really the real Bond. It's not now. And then you show him this scene. It's like, stop touching your ears, you know, that kind of thing, right? And now it just immediately turns into the most thrilling foot chase ever, right? That ends atop that fucking crane. And it was
No, it ends in the embassy.
Oh, sorry, ends the MC, but they do have to
get up
on
to the top of the crane.
That thing looks so dangerous. Like, Jesus. And that's the whole... That is the essence of Bond. It's kind of what Mission Impossible is doing. But, like, because of that action piece is, oh my God, look at that shit.
Definite similarity.
Yeah. And then... But
Bond is alone for the most part, whereas Mission Impossible, even though they center on Ethan Hunt, he generally has a team.
He has his team, And that's why it's different, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But that's... But the point is, after that scene, you have no doubt this guy's... I'm giving him a try. Like, he's fucking wicked. So, big fan, man.
144 minutes long, $150 million budget, $600 million return around the world. Obviously, that was enough to generate more Daniel Craig. We've had 3 more film sits of definitely varying quality, I think it would be fair to say. Spectre being one of the most disappointing films I saw that particular year it came out.
Yeah.
But this film is very, very good. I don't like it as much as you do because I'm not as big a James Bond fan.
Yeah, we should mention that. I'm a massive James Bond fan being Asian. And and Paul's like, I'll take it or leave him.
Yeah, pretty much. But this gritty, this 2006 contemporary take on Bond, to get him away from being this goofball with ridiculous... Goofball's maybe too strong, but very tongue-in-cheek.
No, he became too...
Very on the
smile.
Nose. Ha-ha, bam, push this button... Multiple explosions all around me. Oh, I'll surf this tidal wave in Antarctica or Arctic, wherever
it
was.
So old
it was very, very silly.
Yeah.
I agree with you. The opening of this film is the best since, or possibly even surpassing, GoldenEye, which had a really great opening.
GoldenEye was fantastic.
GoldenEye was the last genuinely good Bond film, I think, before this one.
It's probably my second favorite.
Mm.
So,
and again, to take it back to its roots, yes, the opportunity they afforded themselves by casting Daniel Craig, a new Bond, and against tight Bond. I'll tell you why I got the role, though. His eyes.
Yeah, man.
That man has the most piercing blue eyes.
No shit, man. He'll fuck you
ever
up.
Seen. Like, even if he wasn't a famous actor, that guy would score major sex.
Totally, but if you look at him in like Road to Perdition, or fuck it, like The Power of One, he's got the most fucked up face ever. He's doing it on purpose. He's making that sort of snarl kind of thing to look like a shady guy, which is probably testament to his acting. But then now he flips it all and becomes like
debonair,
the dude that everyone wants to pound. So like, it's like,
well, a good thing about this film as well is they don't just all fall into bed with him. He has to work a little bit for them.
I don't think he fucks anyone. Oh, wait, who does he fuck? He fucks Vesper.
He does fuck Vesper.
But he could have fucked that.
The Spanish, Italian, what is she? Bombshell?
He didn't put a load in her.
No, he didn't.
Because?
Mainly because, well, yes.
Well, he was pumping her for information.
Yep. Yeah. And then would you like that for two? No, for one. The next thing he's driving away.
Yeah, better make it for one.
Chasing the husband.
Because he's the shit. And James Bond is so James Bond, he can give up that kind of sex. Just on a whim, because he's working. So he's the man. But
and I loved M as the, or Judi Dench as the new M as well.
She was the new
cantankerous
M.
Cantankerous and kind of, you know, prickly, and I'm not taking your shit. And did you stop to think about this before you did that?
Yeah, and she's like, you're a dinosaur.
Yep.
You know, I'm like, ooh, damn. And you know what? This was before Me Too, so it wasn't as pretentious then. So.
Yeah. Look, I think the other thing the film did really well was it had Almost, because it falls down. And where it falls down for me stops for me, an excellent film as you've described it, is the card playing scenes are too long. Absolutely too long.
Interesting this film that you think
does not need to be 144 minutes. It should have 20 minutes shaved off, and it would be as good a James Bond film as you
can
get.
Do you think the card scenes were a weakness of the film?
Yeah. No, because this went on too much. Like, I get it, why it was so important. That was the integral slash the name part. It was at the Casino Royale and all the rest of it. The name of the film comes from there. But and the back and forth between he and Lashifa or Lashif is interesting, but it just goes on too long. And I got really shitty with Matthias, or the guy, the agent who's there who joins them. He's standing next to Vespa.
Felix.
Matthias. Matthias. Sorry, my apologies for mispronunciation. He's sitting there and he's explaining the rules.
That was the worst part of this.
There's 24 million already in the pot.
That's right. Now he needs this to do that. I'm like,
she's a fucking accountant.
Exactly. And why would he think that? Honestly, it was a misstep in an otherwise wonderful movie.
But they were doing it for the people. And again, they were doing it too much. That's too much exposition.
Yes. It needed to be like, if they had just treated us a bit more like intelligently, then that would have made the scene less like attract your ire. Because I found, firstly, you say the scene is long, that I found that.
Well, it's a whole middle act of the film.
It's the whole middle act of the film. But I found some solace in the fact that, like, for instance, he, you know, gets poisoned and he has that excellent
What I was going to say was that they pepper it by every 20 to 25 minutes there's an action scene.
Yeah.
So they fight the Ugandan warlords whatever they are.
Down the stairs.
And that's a great fight scene. Really visceral. You really feel that. And they do it with minimal bloodshed, which is a testament to Martin Campbell's direction, which is
very,
very good.
That's almost genius level shit to get swing
at. And the stunt work is impeccable.
No, man.
That, like you said, in the parkour scene at start, and this scene here, they're leaping out. I just can't believe someone didn't get really badly hurt doing that shit.
It's actually nuts how, you look at the stuntman and it's like, how did he walk away from that?
Mm.
So very cool. But, you know, like you said, like because there was so many things that happened during the card game, and one of the cool things about Bond was after he almost died and he just changed his shirt and came fucking...
Well, yeah, they had the fight scene. He dabs some shit out. And then, of course, there's no cut on his forehead. I'm like, well, that's dumb. They take some liberties.
Oh, but it's,
but it's okay.
Because John Bond comes back. He's like, you know, that last hand nearly killed me and shit. I'm like, yeah, motherfucker. That's how you do it.
And the riff there on the whole, you know, I'll have this with, I can't even remember what the name, this drink was with that. And I'll have this. And then everyone goes like, I'll have one of those. And then Felix says, I'll have one of those, but hold the fruit.
Oh my God. Do you know what? There's many moments like that in this movie that I adore. That ordering the drink where he fucking drops like this wicked, and everyone's like, yeah, I'll go. Can we play cards now? Right? Is a beautiful moment.
And then they come back to it. And
Bond knows how to drink. You know, it's like,
And they come back to it at the end, and he's like, with Vespa, he's like, I called it the Vespa.
That was unfortunately the worst, but what happened?
Why? Because it's off putting. I can't remember.
No, he said, once you drink it, it's all you want to drink, or something like that, right? Yeah. It was a fucking horrible line. And I'll tell you why Daniel Craig is good. He then drops this face after he says that, right? Which is like, I know it's bad. And it kind of made it all right. But even before that scene, where he's like, he won the whole thing, and he's like, I'm famished. And then they just end up in that restaurant that's completely empty because it's like fucking midnight in fucking Paris or wherever, they were.
Montenegro.
That's
right.
Yeah. So that's the shit, man. Like,
okay. So I liked obviously Lashif was a good bad guy. I thought he was very, very well played by Mads Mikkelsen.
He's not your quintessential bad guy because he dies too soon.
Well, that was my big surprise. I only watched this film once before, rewatching it for this. And I was legitimately shocked when he just got offed there, basically, to end the second act.
Yeah.
It's a very long second act.
It's a massively long second act. Yeah. And let's talk about the fucking ball sack through the fucking... So I didn't know what was going on. And then they stripped... I know a girl who had become a fan of Daniel Craig's because of this movie. Like many women, I'm sure, and men. Okay. And like me. and she went to the can and came back and he was naked on a chair with all his muscles and fucking dick and shit. And she said she almost passed out. So, but the idea of like cutting out the wicker of a fucking seat so that a man's balls drop through and then he uses this rope to fucking smack his balls. I've never even thought of that. But they played it so well.
Probably is a good thing.
Oh, absolutely. But like, even like, I'm like, what is he even? Oh, shit. And then, but Daniel Craig killed that scene, man. And he said it was one of the easiest scenes he did in the movie. So I'm like, well done, mate.
Does sell it. Yeah. And then he gets killed off by Mr. White or whatever the hell his name is.
Yes. And that was the big surprise now, wasn't it? Because you're like, oh, wait. So now who's the bad guy? Yeah.
And then what, I guess we'll get right to the end because we're starting to run a little bit long on these type of reviews. But we get to the end of the film and he's virtually retired. He's kind of putting off whether he's going to return to work or not. He's just hanging out with Vesper and they're in love and blah, 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 blah.
Mm.
And then she goes to the bank. He works out that she somehow, the money never went through to the British, to the MI6, MI6? Five, whatever it is, MI6. Yeah. And realizes that she's set him up and blah, 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 blah. And now he's angry and he chases after him. That great action scene in Venice and the building sinks into the water.
That's right.
Right.
That's nuts. That's so weird.
She takes the key out of the gate.
And allows herself to die.
Drown. I do not understand.
I gotta admit, I don't either. Because what... I think the idea here was that whoever was controlling her, hence what was dealt with in Quantum of Solace, is bigger than... Like, she's saving Bond by allowing herself to die. I think that's what was going on there.
Because maybe Quantum of Solace. Because there's a great post, an epilogue scene where M's on the phone.
Mm.
And she's like, take your time, Bond. And he says, why don't you take my time? The bitch is dead. And obviously, he's been torn up by it. We see his reaction as he fails to save her and she drowns in the elevator, eventually kicks the door open and gets her out.
Because he's been betrayed.
He's been betrayed. I understand all that. And she says, you understand. Didn't you wonder why you weren't killed when Lashif was shot? She obviously traded your life against getting the money to them. So she gave, it's all for you.
Basically. She saved you by deceiving you.
Yep.
Yeah. And that's why when
the... Oh, that was great. That's a great look. But again, I still don't understand, even with what happens, and I can't remember really what happens in Quantum of Solace, it's pretty average, why she didn't like turn the key, get out, and then go, all right, well, I'm sorry, and explain it to him, and then they go on the run / fight back together.
Well, she didn't have a contract for the next movie. So. You know what?
My point is that the film did not sell that, and that's probably the worst part of the movie.
Yes, the third act is where, unfortunately, it trips up a bit, but I'm still having a good time from the other two acts. I'm still wanting this movie, so I will admit that. But let's talk about Vesper for a second, though. She's fucking awesome. Yeah. I love her as a Bond girl, and her whole thing with the carriage car, with her and Bond, and they're getting to know each other, and they're... barbing and spiking,
yeah.
And it's like, so how was your dinner? He's like, skewered. One sympathizes. I'm like, good God, I fucking came in my pants. That is a great fucking line. But like, only James English ass Bond can do that. You can't be trying to pull that shit in real life.
No,
okay.
No,
but he did it, and it was fucking beautiful. And I just loved their relationship. Because, I don't know, she's looking at him primping in the fucking mirror and stuff, and it's this cute little thing, and she's gives him a jacket. It's tailored. I had you fucking mess
up. That was great, that scene. He brings her the dress, and she's like offended that he went out and chose a dress for her, walks out, and she's picked a tux for him.
Exactly.
And I had you pegged the moment I thought.
But she had it tailored for him because she just knew his measurements by looking at him. I'm like, well, this bitch has clearly been looking at my asshole.
Yet she could not know how poker worked.
What?
How poker worked.
That's right. She did have to have it explained to her by her like obnoxious voiceover almost.
All right. Look, otherwise, it's a great film. Obviously, we thoroughly recommend it. I'm probably still not going to score as high as you. I'm going to give it a 78.
Oh, fuck you. This is 95 tops.
Whoa. Damn.
Yep. This will be the James Bond movie that goes down.
It's my favorite James Bond film, but I don't rate any James Bond above 4 stars. So.
A lot of like purists and like, you know, will be like, no man, Sean Connery, but whatever.
No.
Not even.
before our time. I think that's
exactly
fair
exactly.
All right, there you go. Thank you so much, Mike, for this review and support of the show. And we've got just a couple more to do. These are all going to drop in pretty quick succession. Just a couple more to do, and that clears the 2018 ledger. And we ask all of you, $5 and above patrons, to submit your pick for us to review for 2019. We will absolutely put a thread up in the Facebook listener community and post something here on Patreon so you can let us know your choices.
Blomf.
Thanks so much again. It's an absolute pleasure. We really do appreciate your support of the show.
Damn straight. Thank you very much, folks. We will catch you at the next one.
Cheers.